It is the holiday season, and I think one of the things that some of us, and I'll put myself in that category as well, has a hard time with is knowing how much money we have versus how much money we're going to spend on the holidays. So Kim Erickson is here with Oregon Pacific Bank, and we're going to talk about, you know, understanding credit. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, George?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry, move that microphone out of the way. The people in the audience can't see, but I couldn't see your face there.
Okay.
So, you know, people think, well, I've got all this credit. I've got a credit card that's got several thousand dollars on it. I've got this credit card. And during the holiday season, it's easy to get wrapped up in the, you know, hey, I got to get so-and-so a present. I got to get so-and-so this. This is on sale right now. I want this for myself, and I'm getting a great deal on it. What are some of the dangers that we face, you know, because of this commercialization?
I think some of the biggest dangers are that you can go into debt before you even realize it. It's very easy if you take that credit card that has this huge amount of credit available to you, and before you know it, like you say, you're thinking about 15 different people that you want to buy for. Well, I can because I have credit available, but when that bill comes after Christmas and you see how much you owe, then kind of realization hits in, and you can't take it back at that point. Now you owe the money.
So what do people, because I know when I see it, you know, I sit there and go, okay, well, I had this balance on mine, and I paid $25 a month on it, and so I bought several thousand dollars worth of something, and now I pay $125 a month on it. Well, you know, that $125 a month isn't too bad, but there's dangers when you have that minimum balance coming in, right? You have to, you're paying more in interest at that point, aren't you?
You are. You're paying so much money in interest. I mean, there are cards that you can get with low introductory rates or with special promotions, but ultimately that is going to go away at some point. And you're going to find that credit cards are going to be in the double digits, you know, sometimes 20 to 25% that you're paying. So that great item that you bought on sale at Christmas, now you're paying that 20% interest on, so you're actually, in essence, paying more than it was if you would have waited and saved the money and paid full price for it. If it's something for yourself.
And is it true, or you, educate me here, some companies, like say you have a 17%, you know, rate on your interest rate, but you get over 50% or up to 75% of your credit available, sometimes they jump those percentage rates, don't they? Certain banks will, not banks, but certain lending companies.
They can, but one of the other big negatives to having that high balance is credit agencies, when it comes to your credit score, if you owe, it used to be if you owed 50% of your full available credit, would say it's a no-no and they would lower your score. They've now actually lowered that down to if you owe 40% or more of your outstanding credit available, they will start lowering your credit score and start to look at you as potentially a higher risk because you're using all of those funds that are available in their eyes. So just because you have $10,000 doesn't mean you should use all of it because they will hurt you. You know, it'll harm your score for those.
And even this is even if someone is a prompt payer on the date or before, you know, with their monthly payments, it can still affect their credit score negative.
It can. Actually, there is 30% of your credit score is based on that outstanding balance. So when you go and you do look at your credit score down the road, whether it's a home purchase or an auto, 30% of your score is just simply based on how much you owe in comparison to what the full amount is available to you. So they will look at that and it potentially can lower. And then if you do have a life event that happens and puts you into a financial, you know, position that is not the greatest, and if you are even one day late on a payment, they potentially then will look at it and go, oh, now we're going to lower your available credit down to exactly how much you owe so that your score will tank even more because of potentially having just one day of a late payment, just forgetting and all, you know, the busyness of the holidays and you accidentally make a mistake. They can harm you for that rate-wise, potentially, and your available credit amount, too.
So, again, when they drop that available credit to what you owe, the percentage of your debt ratio increases.
That's correct.
And that's not good.
It is not good because it's going to show that you owe 100% of your full available credit limit. And then creditors will look at that and go, wow, well, they're really stretched thin because they've borrowed every single penny that they can. And so what are they going to do if a life event happens, or if something does occur, they have no available credit even to use now if they need to, because they've maxed it all out.
Well, say, so you're getting into the holiday season and you've made these decisions, and some people have, you know, maybe made a bad decision on that. You get that first bill. What is the best way to attack that debt when you get that bill?
So I look at it and think to myself, if you have just one bill, take as much as you can extra and pay on that. Definitely pay at least the minimum payment by the due date, because if you don't do that, then they're going to charge you a late charge that you can potentially be up to $35 a month, and then you have a minimum a monthly payment of $25, and now you have a late charge that's greater than your minimum payment, so it pushes you farther back on that. But if you can pay even an extra $5 or $10 a month, do that each month until you can get ahead. If you have multiple bills, my recommendation is you start with the bill that has the lowest balance and start paying extra to that one and get that one paid off, because then you have a sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. I've paid a bill off. I'm moving forward. And then once that's done, all of those funds that you use to pay on that bill can go towards your next one. And you can just kind of stair step up, and you'll start to see that you're making progress and you're putting more towards the principal than just the interest balance on those cards.
And two, as you open each account up, then your debt ratio changes too, right? If it's a revolving account, that is.
What it'll do is, if you have a monthly payment, it'll change your debt ratio. But as far as your credit score goes, it will potentially, every time you open a credit card or even just have your credit checked, then you can have your score lower. That is actually, doing credit inquiries is 10% of your score. So every time somebody checks it, you can see that will lower your score, and that's 10% of your score.
Now, what are some smart ways that people can use their credit? Like, for example, a friend of mine pays all their bills every month with their credit card to get their points. Then at the end of the month, they just pay that all off. Is that a smart thing to do?
It is. It's a very smart thing to do. And I recommend to people, if you're trying to build your credit, you have had one of those life events and you need to rebuild, to go to a local store that we have here in town and see if you can obtain a credit card through them and use it once a month. And maybe it's because you're still learning to budget and things. Maybe it's buying a gallon of milk is all, but then you're in essence paying it off at the very next month. That's going to build your credit. So whether it's a $3 balance or a $3,000 balance, because that's all your monthly expenses, if you pay it off each month, you're not going to be paying any interest. So you're basically just paying with your own money. And it's going to show to the credit agencies each month that, hey, these people use their card, but they pay it in full each month. And every month it's going to report that, and it's going to report it's being used and that it's being paid on time. And you're going to see your credit score build very quickly from doing that.
How important is longevity of an account? I know that shows up in your credit scores when you're looking at it. In other words, like you've had this account for 6 years or 5 years or several accounts. How does that?
15% of your score is based on your length of credit. So the longer you have that account, the better it's going to make your credit history. Sometimes the people will say, well, I'm not using this card, so I'm going to close it. Well, that is a good thing to do if you're actually looking to try and build your credit and you have always used that card on a monthly basis, paid as agreed, and then you close it, all of that good history is now gone.
Oh.
So if it's a card that you've used, you've paid as agreed, and there's never been any problems, then that's actually helping your score. You'll find a lot of department stores in general, if you don't use the card, they themselves will close it after a period of time of no activity. And if they do that, I mean, there's not much you can do. The only thing you can do is go back and reapply, and then it's going to lower your score. So don't worry about it at that point. But if it's a card that you're in good standings, just keep it open. It's not going to hurt anything for you.
So you mentioned 30% of your credit score is based on your debt. Is that right?
The outstanding balance
of your debt. So what is the largest percentage of impact that can happen? What one category is the largest percent that has an effect?
The largest category is paying your bills and paying them on time, and that's 35% of your score. So that's where I tell people, even if it is only that minimum payment, make sure to pay it on time every month. And you really have to watch, because I myself have personally found that when you have these credit cards, some of them are based all over the United States. So some are on the East Coast, some are on the West Coast. And if you look at your bill really closely, it will say it's due by 5 p.m. East Coast time,
right,
or Pacific time. And so a lot of people, I myself have been guilty of, oh, it's due today, I'll go on and pay it. And as you're sitting on the couch in the evening, your bell goes off.
I've done it too.
And you're like, oh gosh, I forgot to do that. Well, you go on and you do it, and it's 10 o'clock our time. And let's say it was due by midnight, but it was East Coast time. You're now late,
right,
and you're going to get a late charge. Now, you're not going to be reported as a 30-day late on your credit, because generally credit agencies are only going to have that negative effect of reporting late to your credit card agency once you're 30 days late, mm-hmm, but you are going to get that late charge, and they then can look at it and then maybe lower your credit, available credit, or increase your rate. So there's some backside effects that can happen from that.
But now some companies also will allow you to talk to them and sometimes refund that, don't they?
That is very true. And I tell people all the time, stay in communications with your creditors. If you made a mistake and you got that late charge and you've never had one before, generally if you call them and explain the circumstance, they'll waive it as a one-time charge. Sometimes, you know, once a year,
right,
they will. If you're having financial difficulties making your payments, call your creditor. Keep that line of communication open, because a lot of times they will also really work with you on making those payments and setting up a payment plan. But if you just try to avoid, and not call them or talk to them, they're just gonna just keep, you know, contacting you and wanting to know when you're gonna pay, and they're not gonna be willing to work with you.
Right. Now, setting an annual budget or setting a monthly budget for your necessities, your rent, your mortgage, and all that stuff is an awesome idea. What about holiday time for seasonal buying? Should you set yourself a budget? Should you look at how much money you have available or how much money you want to spend and then buy according to that?
I think so. I think that you don't want to go outside your means, because again, it is the holidays you're supposed to be enjoying, and the most important, you know, is family and spending time with them. And if that one extra gift that you get for somebody is going to break the bank, so to speak, it's not worth it. So if you can set yourself up on a budget for how much money you should be spending, and not going over that, just stay within your means. You can find something, whether it's big or small, it's the thought that counts with it. And there's also a lot of great things, you know, that, for example, I know right now at the school, they're having a great, like a place where children can go in and purchase gifts for mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. And you can set the budget as low as 25 cents or up to $12. So there's all different avenues for you to go to purchase those gifts. If you have your budget established and you stay within that, you can achieve it as long as you do. The other thing a lot of people will do is they'll set up an account throughout the year. So starting in January, they know the holidays are a hard time, and whether it's Christmas or birthdays or anything, and they'll put a little bit of money in that account each month. And so that is their holiday account. Mm-hmm. And so when the holidays come, they've got that money set aside, and they're not just trying to budget based on 30 days. They're budgeting based on 12 months, and that money can go in there, whether it's $5 or $10 a pay period. At least it's a little bit more than they would have if they just did it for the 30 days.
What I think, for me anyway, what the biggest stressor is on debt is not necessarily, and this is probably a bad thing, not necessarily the amount of money that I owe, but the fact when I look at, well, I have a car payment that's this amount, a personal loan that's this amount, two credit cards that are this amount, and I take the total of money that I spend and pay them every month, and I think, boy, that'd be money I could put in savings, or that would be money that I could do something else with if I didn't have to pay it out every month.
That's correct. And so if you can, a lot of people look at that and will say, you know, here is my monthly expenses, and I'm comfortable with that, or I'm not. But if you're comfortable with it, then sometimes people will just keep spending that amount versus setting it aside. But I think the goal should be to always pay that down so you can put that extra money in savings. So when the holidays come or that item that you really want comes, you have some of that money setting aside and you're truly using your money. You're not using somebody else's money, but you're using your own personal money to buy those items with.
And I guess it's tough because in a situation where a lot of people are just working for that next check to make sure they have enough, it's difficult because they want to be giving at the same time, but at the same time, they know they have to be responsible. And it must be pretty tough. I guess you run across people that deal with that on a regular basis, too.
We do. And when I teach this class to people, I tell them, you know, credit is out there. Everybody has it. It can be a good or it can be a bad thing. There's nothing wrong if you really feel like you want to buy that item for somebody and that's the only way you can do it. That's your choice and that's okay. Just be responsible in the long run with making those minimum payments and paying it off. If it fits within your budget, by all means do it. Credit is something that everybody should have because no credit is worse than bad credit is what we tell people.
Unless you're a multimillionaire with plenty of
cash. Yeah, that's true.
Cash, you know. That's
but, you know, have a credit card for whether it's that rainy day or it's that item that you just really feel like you need. But in case an emergency happens, a lot of times credit is the way that you can do that. And so you sometimes can't go out and get it the day you need it if you have some challenges. So to have it and maintain it and keep in good standings is a good thing.
So you teach people on a monthly basis how to manage their credit. Is this a class that's open to anybody or?
It's a class that we teach through SOS.
Okay.
And Bob Teeter asks us to come in and we teach it to people. However, if anybody wants information on it, we're more than happy to provide it. They can give us a call at Oregon Pacific Bank and we're happy to sit down. We have flyers on it and to just go through some of the basic information. Because I know we talked about a lot of the things that affected your credit and the percentage. The one other thing that does affect it is 10% of your score is based on the variety of credit you have. And it's funny because when I teach the class, I tell people there is absolutely no way that any person can have 100% on all of these items. Because, for example, they tell you with 10% of your score being the variety of credit, they say for optimal, you should have a mortgage loan, a car loan, a credit card, a major one, and a department one, a student loan. Well, and what I say to people is I don't have student loans anymore, and I'm not going to go get one just so I can have a perfect score.
Right, there you go.
So they say that it's nice to have that. And what they're meaning by that is they don't want to see every single one of your credit cards. You know, you open that wallet and there's 20 of them and they're all department store credit cards. They want to see a good mix of things and not just all focused on one. But if you don't have some of them, that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You want to make sure that you take care of your credit. Now, did the credit scoring go up? I thought it used to be like 700 was the best. And now it's like, I guess some people can get up to close to 800. Is that right? Or
so since I've been doing it, you know, we've been at that 800. Mm-hmm. And kind of the max you can be is up in the 850s. There's three National Credit Bureau agencies. There's TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And they're all equally as important, but they all will rate things a little bit differently.
I noticed that, yeah.
We will get people that come in and one of their scores is extremely low and the other two are really high. And what that comes from is if a financial institution chooses to only report to two of those on a monthly basis versus three, then that third one may not, they don't have all the same information. So your score could be considerably different. And especially if maybe that one item that they're not reporting to is really good, then it can make that score go down. So all three of them are as equally as important. And we generally will see people with a maximum of 810. It's very rare to see people up in that 850, mm-hmm. 820, but it's more common to see people in the middle sevens.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a good time of the year to be thinking about this. Important to live within your means, right?
Yes, definitely within your means.
And when you do have to use credit, just use it smartly.
Yes, and feel free to call us at any time, and we'll help you and understand credit a little bit more.
Kim Erickson, Oregon Pacific Bank, thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
And coming up next on the December edition of Our Town, we'll talk with Police Chief Tom Turner about the rules of the road.